3, testing, 1, 2, 3.
So my instructor felt that black people did it, and you know, use it for a good purpose, that they could get a response. And another thing is, a lot of people, they were talking about the land in the Vinegar Hill area, who owned what, and so forth, and just how much people were compensated for whatever land they had, black businesses and so forth, if they were. And that's it.
I was born in Charlottesville, where City Hall is now located. Mrs. Walker was born in Cincinnati, I believe it was, but came here very shortly after her birth. Then we lived for a few years up where Charlottesville High School is now located. Not Charlottesville High, where Lane High School building is. We moved up here and been in this area when she was 2 years old, I think.
In the Vinegar Hill area, when they had this urban renewal project, it affected you?
It affected us in terms of the family. I think it affected any of us as such because we didn't have any holdings. Yet my father and grandmother did.
Well, what about, if you don't mind talking about that, what about, how do they feel about the whole thing? Do you think they were compensated well for the holdings that they had?
Well, my sister was here during that time. I think, weren't you here during the time that Vinegar Hill was sold? I was during the time. And you listened to my father talk. I think grandma was there. But was
she? She wasn't there.
Okay, well, you heard them talk. What did they think about it?
I don't think anybody feels that they're fairly compensated for loss of property because they feel that real estate is a good investment. So that my family owned property on the main street of Vinegar Hill and in the residential section of Vinegar Hill, which was 3rd Street off the current 4th Street. That was 3rd Street and Commerce Street that they owned a lot of houses that they rent, and the real estate value on those houses was not very much, and so they were compensated as we do in eminent domain. We compensate people in terms of the value of the real estate in City Hall, you know, as it's listed for tax purposes. And when you get that compensation, you don't get enough to reinvest it in what you would call a better kind of real estate, so that they didn't feel that they were ever adequately compensated. My family owned the property where City Hall is, and you know, I don't remember whether or not at that point that they thought that that was an adequate price, but you know, in terms of what you get for real estate, it was real. As to whether or not they complained a great deal, as you look back on them now, I would say that they were extremely agreeable because they seemed to feel that whatever the city wanted to do was for progress, and they must cooperate, and so they just went along with the tide. I mean, they didn't complain.
Was your grandmother owned land? Was she renting it out to people? Or?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It had been handed down in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And if that land were now under city ordinances, mm-hmm. current city ordinances, it wouldn't be up to code and probably would be considered a hut. But at that time, it was, she had no problem renting an outlet, mm-hmm. and it was all airtight and safe and with adequate sewage and that kind of thing. I think she got $5 a month from each house or something, mm-hmm. but that was for that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She managed that very well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those people that were displaced was another problem. Mm-hmm. Where did they go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember that far back, but that was a problem, finding a place to go. And I suppose most of them did go into West Haven.
Uh-huh.
I can think of one or two families that mm-hmm. did go into West Haven. But all of them didn't go into West Haven. So back to the original question of whether or not they felt adequately compensated.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to sell.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd already had a lot of experience with eminent domain because, as Clark says, we'd already been routed out of the area where Lane High School is,
mm-hmm.
and landed in this spot.
So was that when the urban renewal came along that you had to move from there to here?
Oh, no. Lane High School went in before Vinegar Hill.
Uh-huh.
That was Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, Roosevelt.
So we went from, you know, we lost property where City Hall is, where Lane High School is, where Vinegar Hill is.
Where Jefferson School is.
Yeah, where Jefferson School is.
Mm-hmm.
So we just stay on the fringe of the redevelopment all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you, do you prefer this place, this location, to where you lived before? Or?
Well, now, we lived on Pearl Street where Lane is, and I don't remember that really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so this is all I know.
Running water inside is much more complicated. Not having to use the pump your bath water if you want to get this stove.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have a nice garden and all that stuff.
Uh-huh. I guess it included more land probably than...
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. My father had a nice garden.
So... It was more convenient to the stores and stuff because that was the business district, right?
Yeah, Pearl Street.
Uh-huh.
No, Pearl Street was on the fringe of Charleston, and Lane High School was not.
Uh-huh, okay.
Like those years, I mean,
uh-huh.
there was a store right up at Preston Avenue where the rail company road tracks across. That was a sort of local grocery, mm-hmm. I think his name was Bob.
Mm-hmm. When speaking with your brother, he was telling me a little bit about your business. Was that was going on while the Vinegar Hill area?
Yes,
sir.
Oh, that's been going on before Vinegar Hill. It was started by my uncle,
uh-huh.
great uncle. My father worked with him shortly after. For a while during the World War, and then afterwards, mm-hmm. he took over the business because
mm-hmm.
Uncle died.
Mm-hmm.
And that was operated at that time down at 609 East Main Street, where City Hall is now.
Mm-hmm.
That was the family home place. Then my grandmother moved to Pearl Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that was rental property. So it was purchased by the city,
mm-hmm.
and a portion of that land, City Hall, was gone. We didn't have all the land down there. Somebody else had to buy other land, too, mm-hmm. other property. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, what school did you attend, in this area? Was it Jefferson?
It wasn't but one.
One by one.
didn't have much choice. Mm-hmm. Jefferson Elementary School and Jefferson High School. The elementary school has been torn down. Mm-hmm. And it's basically facing down 4th Street. And Jefferson is where it is.
Mm-hmm. How about in the area community organizations? I realize that things were segregated more so than now then, and what kind of outlets did the blacks have as far as organizations, maybe bazaars, whether through the church that a lot of things were given, Masons, whatever?
General organizations, Masons, Eastern Star, Elks, and Church.
Mm-hmm. And there was one social organization called the Progressive Club.
Mm-hmm. Then they had the Gilders coming around by then. They had social clubs.
Yeah, they had social men's clubs.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember.
Mm-hmm. And the Phyllis Wheatlers have existed.
Oh, literary, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think they've been in existence.
Mm-hmm. There were two, Phyllis Wheatley and Mr. Frickson.
I
must tell you about that.
I don't even believe anything about that. We've heard about the Phyllis Wheatley from Ms. Frickson.
And Fagin Art and Literary Society.
Yes, ma'am.
That the ladies belong.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things did they do? The things in the community? What kind of, you said, was it the social organizations?
Principally social. Mm-hmm. And you know, Masons and Eastern Star, theirs was like it is today. Mm-hmm. I remember those people doing things at Christmas, but as far as some projects with children and things like that, I don't remember them doing it.
Mm-hmm. Just like most of us at our organizations now. Mm. I mean, fraternities, sure, they get the pictures in the paper. Communication is much better. They get a bag of toys and say we're delivering toys to kids. But very little of that money goes to anything of that sort. Same with in a fraternal council. We would talk, and after the long period, we'd talk for 10 hours, decide to give something for a scholarship. Mm-hmm. And about the only thing you contribute is good, they want to do it. But about what you get when you're going to college, maybe part of your bus there halfway to the school you're going to. If you're going down to Virginia State, it might get you halfway down there, or one way down. I mean, I'm being facetious when I say that, but really it was a big hassle. Mm-hmm. We did Progressive Club. Yeah, they give a Christmas basket. But then they'd have a big Christmas dance. That's where all the money went.
Mm-hmm.
I have to decorate that, so I know.
I think you've heard about Mr. Bibbs being called the mayor of Vinegar Hill. Did he give himself that name, or? Blacks didn't designate him the mayor of Vinegar Hill, did they?
This is the first time you've heard it.
Yeah, because we were told he was called. There was a mayor of Vinegar Hill, and of course we just naturally assumed he was black. And when we found out that this was the man, we see this white guy in the paper. You know, that seemed a little strange that he would be called the mayor. You know, because it would seem like it would be somebody else of some significance in the Vinegar Hill area.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
they might have called him.
Uh-huh.
You mean the blacks had consented that he was the mayor?
Oh, I don't
know. Oh. No, I don't remember.
But I mean, you know, fish has always been one of the cheapest foods you can buy. So maybe he was in there. I guess when Mr. Inge had, he started the first fish business here.
Yeah, so. I heard fresh fish wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I imagine when he kept that going, he could have been the mayor of Charlotte. Because not only did blacks buy fish from him, but whites too. Because he was one of the only sources.
When you lived over near the Vinegar Hill, where you lived on Pearl Street, or as far as shopping was concerned, did you patronize black businesses? And not
well,
only yourself.
I don't know how we could have very easily, because there was only one that, as far as shopping is concerned, for food and necessities, would have been Mr. Hinn. That's the oldest black business, as far as grocery and food stuff. Uh-huh. closest to us, and I think listening to my grandmother, Mr. Vi probably treated her much nicer because she was having than anybody in town, because she could go up there and get things on the credit, she still was credit for. She was having a hard time, you know, meeting financial obligations. Mm-hmm. Her husband was an invalid. That's all. And she was the only source of income.
She was Vi.
Vi, yes.
What?
V-I-E. P-E-P is a white girl. And this grocery store used to be right down with Pearl, not that street. But Preston Avenue is where the southern side tracks cross, and then you cross them every time you go up to, just before you get to the underpass. And that store must be, I think it was on, because I remember there were two stores up there. And they were across the street from each other. One was on there where the coal yard is, in that general area. And the other was where Brown's King. And this was the man that she extended her credit. She said that they could eat bottles when she didn't have any money. But in terms of having stores such as Safeway and all, none of those businesses had really come in all the way so far. One of the years, Gleason's grocery store downtown. He later became very nice to his patients and worked in the schools. The food program that you put on. It's our free lunch program.
So as far as the businesses in Vinegar Hill were concerned, Mr. Angel's store was one of, I guess, one of the best thriving businesses during that time, or?
I
don't know.
I believe that's the case.
And I understand that there were barbershops, several barbershops, used clothing store. Is that insurance plate? Black insurance?
Several. Yeah, we had barbershops, we had pool rooms. Major persons who had a little lunch counter or something of that sort, had a shoe store.
Mm-hmm. When these businesses...
Shoe repair shop, I'm sorry. Shoe repair shop.
Well, when these businesses were moved, do you think they didn't start up again because they had to move maybe from their location, or do you think maybe it was because they played out? Someone suggested that perhaps they'd met their time already, so they just, you know, had reached the point where they were going to do well and wouldn't anymore.
Insurance company started folding. Charles Thompson's pool room folded. Not completely. He had a nephew, I think, Lawrence. Lawrence started putting up the pool room over on First Street. Relocated on First Street. Didn't catch on. We had another thriving business on Preston Avenue, Westlands. The biggest thing to do, one of the things to do on that was to drink some beer and eat. Uh-huh. They tried to have a pool room up in that area too, that's difficult. Ray High School, who had a cleaning business there, was, he moved out of town, so that meant Mr. McGinnis, who had a tailor shop cleaning business. He didn't have anybody to take over his business. He didn't have any son or anything coming along. So when he got old, you know, that was out. Mm-hmm. See what other businesses I remember. Mr. Pollock, the barber. Yes, he was about on his last leg, you know, when it came through. The radio barber shop moved around here on 4th Street. That's still a drive, because Joker Barber Shop is still there, right across from the school.
The Radio Barber Shop?
Yeah, it's called Radio Barber Shop.
That's still...
No, it's not in its location when it first moved. I think it moved down on 4th Street.
Okay.
It's right next to... It's Dr. Jackson is on the corner right next to him going towards Maine, and where Dr. Johnson, he died, his wife later died, but that property has been sold. Then there was a building just south of them going towards Main Street that houses Jeffrey's Barber Shop, and that property was all acquired by the telephone company. But that was the part of the Pentagon deal prior to doing the purchase by the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe Radio Barbershop still exists. And there's a name. I don't remember what I've seen. That I believe it's on
Russell Drive.
What's the shopping center up there where the Gulf Station is? It's called the Preston Plaza Shopping Center.
I know. Mm-hmm.
I guess a barbershop in there now, still called Radio. And of course, the people who were running it, I know they're running it.
Mr. Frank Henry?
Frank Henry, right.
Mm-hmm. He's going to talk to them, I believe.
Yeah, that was one of the popular sites there.
Mm-hmm.
But the pool bar, that was really opened by my father with the business. Well, let's go back earlier. Blacks got together and opened a drugstore called the Preston Drug Company. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you about that?
Your brother may have mentioned it. Mm-hmm.
Remember Mr. Ferguson?
I think that's who did, the name that you mentioned.
Mr. Ferguson, mm-hmm. A little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And that looked like it was going to be a thriving business.
Mm-hmm.
But they had problems keeping the promises. And I sort of suspect one of the other things that might have caused this downfall is that folks put in their money and they were looking for large dividends.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the large dividends weren't forthcoming. And I think that probably was the real reason that, folded outside of the most of the equipment in there, I think, ended up down here where the barbershop is now with Dr. Jackson. You know, the guy had a little drinking fountain in there and that stuff. And that didn't really open up at the barbershop. My father opened in the same spot where the drugstore was, the pool was.
Had a barbershop, a hairdresser parlor, pool room.
No, they did put all those things in first. I think its first venture was a restaurant in, with the pool room out in front. And of course, he didn't stay there to really operate the business because he was in the advertising business too. So then when he lost money on the pool, he opened a barbershop, and the whole business sort of went the way of some dusted building and all, and my grandmother ended up with the building and asked him to go up on the whole thing to purchase the building.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived on the top of this.
Mm-hmm.
And he also expanded. Mr. Bell undertaking the farm acquired a building. But at one time it housed the bakery.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a black bakery. It was a young man named Mr. Smith. He had a very thriving business there. But he could have a panel, so he could not live. And Mr. Bell purchased the business. And his son opened a store such as the one he has on the North Fifth Street, Southwest now. Bell's Market, Lakewood, back here, that's all. So, of course, his business was displaced, but he did okay for a little bit. Now, he's still in operation.
Mm-hmm.
There were a number of different buildings in that area owned still by white Christians' restaurants. Christians, it's just mm-hmm. the day when people would go in to meet the Christians and buy that sandwich, but then you couldn't stay too long. Mm-hmm. After you got your sandwich, you walked out, mm-hmm. maybe go to the food hall and eat it. Mm-hmm. It was a Watkins used furniture store that probably sold a lot of furniture to mm-hmm. the folks. Mm-hmm. Hey. He was likewise.
Do you see my love? You gonna fix up our people for me because...
Anyway. Those are the main things I can resume if I had to get going in time to like businesses that we have in some of the names and how
okay.
they operate.
And these people, did they kind of have a kind of close-knit sort of thing? Did they help each other out, or was it more like you had to kind of fend for yourself, or did black businessmen stick together or try to help each other?
I don't really know that it was any formal organization, but you know, just knowing people, I would have to say yes. Mm-hmm. In terms of being like a something that exists nowadays,
Merchants Association.
I don't think they had any Well, what about competition from whites? I know that there were several. Okay, I was told that there were Greek restaurants on Vinegar Hill.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
There was a Greek.
Oh, he was? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, was there a lot of, was there any problem or stiff competition between these people and the people on the hill? The businesses on here?
No, I don't think I didn't see it as such. I think the big problem, if anybody, and I would see it as a problem too, is that on occasion, as I got older, I was visiting the hills. Mm-hmm. As a youngster, we couldn't light in there. Mm-hmm. My father owned a pool room. He could not be caught in 16 years or 17 mm-hmm. years old. Go in there on Saturday, you would have cleaned up a lot. Sunday, you know, we have cleaned up, you might get a juice stick and see the food ball or something. It was more of a, I guess, no other recreational facilities being available, such as they are now. For example, the Carver Center with the pool tables and all. Mm-hmm. Would be strong competition for anybody wanting to open up a pool room. Mm-hmm. Because people can come down there and play free. Mm-hmm. Where years ago, you'd have to pay a nickel a game.
Yeah, I haven't been there. I didn't know that they had pool tables in there. Because I knew that they had dances and so forth. So.
Yeah, they had. I know. Let's see.
Come on,
Nikki.
I know you're talking.
There are at least four tables in there. They open up there. They are all the youngsters and older people in there.
In the super bar?
Mm-hmm. You said that you could eat corn.
It was kind of rough, that's what you
My
used.
Family, mm-hmm. my
well.
Father, as I
used
I
to walk on the other side of the street. I'm going to leave
father,
you all in.
Okay,
my father owned the building, but we were not permitted to go in there because it was not considered a desirable place. I mean, not that we're being anything other than what we are, but because of the sort of attraction that you know, it attracted certain people there that we were not expected to pattern ourselves by the examples, I guess.
Let's see if I can ask this question. Type people that, let's say, this pool room attract there, would it be synonymous to, let's say, the type of people that well, they really didn't get in the place in Charlottesville back really. Okay, well, I know how pool rooms are back home. I'm from Richmond. And, you know, those are the type of places that you walk in and may never walk out. But, I mean, like, whenever you hear a pool room, you sort of get this, you know.
Negative context.
Yeah, like, you know, like it's a bookies joint or something like this.
Well, a lot of that goes on, as you know, you have to watch it very closely here. Carver Center, now that's seriously think it really controlled it all together. The only difference is that you know you would would not having people, I mean, at one of those pool rooms, you might have them betting outright, you know, mm-hmm. I bet you such and such, I win this game. But at Carver, you probably get to bet on the side, but never know that a bet is actually going on until maybe a conflict starts out on the parking lot mm-hmm. or something. Or it might even start in the pool room, but you wouldn't see the money up on the table.
Right. Hold on a minute, can you just, I have to, just stop it. I have to.
I'm not trying to imply that this was bad, all bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to.
You know, that it was all bad because there were good businesses on the hill. The barber shops, of course, people still sit around in barber shops and shoot the breeze. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that the number games was going on then. There were numbers played at barber shops, not by the barber necessarily. Being a writer or anything of that sort, but that's what you did. That's just part of human nature to try to play bingo at the Safeway because I hope I hit that $1,000. So people play numbers because they want to be lucky. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll be lucky and they can get some money easy. The insurance businesses have done a good job as far as blacks are concerned. And they came in existence at a time when people could not get insurance by other companies. Of course, everybody's looking for that dollar now. Mm-hmm. People have become very much aware of the fact that there are people who have buying power and we need to appeal to them. One of the things I feel too that is has a lot to do with the fact that maybe property wasn't acquired afterwards, said that after the fees were paid for Benefit Hill. And look at this family. Okay, my grandmother was responsible for most of it, keeping any of our inheritance together. When her mother died, my brother, he left his property, most of it, to my grandmother's children and some children of another brother who lived in Des Moines, Iowa. That said, now his the little property here that's not too valuable in the first place because sister was talking about the rundown housing and really honestly and truly no running inside running water or anything like that. I mean people maybe they yes, they had a lavatory right outside the back door. There was city water, but it wasn't modern, as we know today. And of course, back in those times, property, as cities built up, they just built the city where the cow path was. We didn't have them laid out too well. You could drive through Charles Street, you can see that as well. Okay, you sell the property and somebody died, I mean, it's purchased, and you're supposed to split it maybe, okay, when my grandmother died, but she had it acquired, had to be split between four children. She had property in Washington and property here. Now, if you try to divide it equally, you're diluting it a whole lot, aren't mm-hmm. you? Okay, maybe at the time of her death, the income tax folks didn't take too much. I'm sure they had something coming up. But when my father died, he had acquired something, and most of this was from the very initial bit, was through my grandmother and what she saved. All right, he had four children. Now, whatever he had acquired is diluted again. Go away. He says, we aren't smart enough to go in there. No, really diluted five ways. Because the person who got the biggest chunk out of it, he was one really figured out, it's not the same. When you get the inheritance stuff,
yeah.
You got more than I did. So, there's another dilution. So where can you go with this? Especially if you've got four people that all want to go different ways. Mm-hmm. See, I want to do one thing. Sis wants to do something else. Edward had quite a good idea. I got brother in Washington that doesn't want to ever come back. He just moved to all of that. So he didn't want to come back. And maybe if we'd got together and had a meeting, somebody would have said, well, we'll pool our money in a certain portion and go get into something else. But I think this is where the problem arises. Now, of course, we said, well, why don't you build something for black folks down there in the redevelopment of Medgar Hill? I don't think anybody's going to go and do that as such. I wouldn't say I'm going to do it, but if we really had somebody, I think it was organized, and I don't say, well, why don't you do it? I just don't have that sort of drive, that push. We could probably get some, you know, some commitment. We can think of the Star Hill Neighborhood Association. All right, we're supposed to be developing, somebody that's going to give us all this expertise on how we could develop businesses and that sort of thing. And I think the person who got in, and I don't know them, this is all he has said, because I haven't taken an active part. See, I left Charlottesville, this is rationalization. I left Charlottesville in 36 when I finished high school, not permanently, but after the war came on, I did stay out pretty much, and after the war was over, I left, and I didn't come back until 10 years ago. So I was out for roughly 30 years. And when I came back, I said, now I don't want about what people did in Washington, because these folks were thinking, trying to be smart, and I took that as good advice. She's acting president of the Star Hill Neighborhood Association, and I sort of, as I said, I rationalized it, stayed back because I didn't want to say, well, they're trying to run the whole thing. Because that's the first thing, you know, you think you get the big chunk out of it, and you're trying to run something, so just stay off. Well, anyway, these expertise are going to help us out, you know, do some financial investment or whatever you want to call it. I can't think of the organization now. And the first thing the person wants is a great big salary. First thing, I'm not going to share any of my expertise with you except that I want a big salary. That's the first thing. So, I mean, how are we going to, if you can't have somebody willing to do something sort of on a volunteer basis, get ahead? Private is much more expensive than it was at the time it was acquired way back then. As long as we're not here, you all coming to all of us know that many of back then, I'm told that not in Benedict Hill, the folks who were black background over in the area of Monticello. And maybe they hadn't had many acres of land given to them. And Mr. Thomas Jefferson, I'll find him there. I doubt if any of us was having a problem.
Right.
And that's when it was real cheap. I'm not favoring slavery or anything of that sort. But we did get some things that we weren't able to hold on to because of changing times. Even people with money now, they can't apply things. You got to go to some of these big conglomerates in order to apply anything at all. That's what that costs. But, you know, in terms, nothing has been developed on Benedict Hill. That is the part that faces Main Street. Which is where they're talking about the convention complex.
Yeah, I heard on the radio the other day.
Which makes you wonder why they turned down.
Well, you know, you can make a lot of plans. think that things are going to work out and all that. There's a reason for it. I think they did it because it was a blighted area, becoming a blighted area. Was, as I told you, now, this is honestly and truly something that my uncle had worked for. My father had made certain improvements in the property. He had some right nice apartments on 4th Street, right across from where the Carver is now, that he had remodeled. And those all went, they were modernized, because he had made these improvements after my grandmother was dead. But then we had a lot of, several other houses on Commerce Street. When I say several, maybe roughly a city block on one side, just a little house that belonged to the family that were substandard houses. And we weren't the only ones. There were several people in that area because they were restricted to that area. They couldn't move out all the area. They had nice housing in there, but the majority of it was substandard. And I think this is what we were after, getting rid of that kind of thing. And of course, just the businesses and everything.
Do you think this was a setback to Black as a whole, or do you think it was more of a mainstream? Okay, let's say, on one hand, this Black businesses, you know, possibly may become stronger as opposed to housing Black. Well, okay, Brooklyn Renewal crushed Black business, well, destroyed Black businesses, but gave Blacks a place to live. Which do you think was the better of the two alternatives?
You see, I read question the number of Black businesses that were destroyed.
Mm-hmm. This is something I've been hearing in the last couple of years. This,
because Mr. N, right, Mr. N, opened that store. Tom and Son Rand. I do stop right by there, go by there now, and see if you see any signs of increase at any time. And Tom N set up demand for whatever he saw, and never put anything back in prison. To improve.
Mm-hmm.
Now you didn't see the other part of it. I mean the other parts of the torn down. But as you go on down the hill, right, I mean, down towards the mall, right, fairly close to the engine store was the barber shop, Paul's barber shop. That was more dilapidated than this engine store. Now in its place is Ray Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I guess one of the things that happened after during the time of urban renewal was to bring McIntyre Road in up to Ridge Street. Okay, right east of McIntyre, this was probably known, I guess about where McIntyre comes through, that was probably where Ray High School. Cleaning establishment was, and he was somewhat of a tailor, did alterations and that sort of thing. Now, Ray had no family, no children or anything that would take on his business. He probably was ready to give up on that anyway, because he was moving to Washington. I don't know if this sale caused him to move up fast or not. Then we had a little shoe shop right in there. I don't know what happened to that shoemaker. But we do have a Black shoemaker in town that's located down up at the university, named Smith.
I don't know if that's the same one, but I know there was one that we used to go to and he moved. I don't know where
he moved.
It was over in the alley kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I went there just recently, well, within the last year, and he moved or he'd gone out of business.
Well, he had one downtown. He ran this straight through a white man that he worked for years. And when this man died, he somehow let his father take over his business. Where the Palace Theater is now, he had a shop in there for a while. And then that was converted to something, and that's when he moved up to the university.
Mm-hmm.
But this other man had a shop on Main Street. I don't know what happened. Because I told you about the Dells, Henry reestablished his store over on 5th Street. Carl Tunsley, who had the pool room, course, got old, and he died, and I think most of what he had acquired or revealed when he was acquired, his nephew, who tried to open the business over on First Street, but it never went. Never caught on over there. So he's no longer in business. He still has property in that.
Well, ladies, I'm going to, and gentlemen,
mm-hmm. Yeah, excuse me 1 second. Can I get you to sign if we found the sheets so we can use this for our class?
You gave some input, so you have to sign. Mm-hmm. 2 months is better than what you've done.
Interviewee.
Huh?
Interviewee.
Yes, ma'am.
You'll be his friend now. You love him better.
Thank you very much.
Please welcome you on holiday.
You too. Thank you very much for your time.
What's
his name?
Two. Well, people say, what? Well, I mean, this is the second dog.
Oh, okay. So I just call
him
two.
Nice meeting you, Swan. T-W-O-T-U, have you, 2-0-0-1-5-1. The other one I had, I took him to Washington. I was asleep. I was visiting my ex-wife. She let him out because he thought he had to go to the bathroom. And he came back in, and he was looking for me, and he stood back at the door again. She thought he wanted to go out again. She let him out, and he jumped.
Excuse me, I'll cook when I come back.
Okay.
Nicky didn't
want to
eat.
And another time. When it's Christmas, about 2 years ago. So then we got two.
Did you take that?
No, oh, don't worry about that. Doesn't matter.
Dad, do you have any
more questions? Yes, one or two more. One more question. Well, I'll just ask you one more. You've already told me everything else.
Okay.
Well, there's something I do want to say. The kind of impression that we've gotten was that the Vinegar Hill was like a roaring area. Black business is
that's what people want to have as give that impression. But I, as far as, and I might be given a biased impression too. And of course, some folks might say, by the way, you aren't black and this sort of thing, but I was born colored and I've been identified with black all my life. And I went to a black school here and I went to a black college and everything else. All I'm trying to point out to, and I had fun with black folks. I couldn't associate with white because of my heritage. I Fred speak to them all about this. But in terms of really what it was, I mean, I told you the people who own property, really who own property. Okay, Angel on the corner, then there used to be a family called West. He acquired his wealth by being a barber. He ran a white barber shop, white paint. There was the Coles, and the Coles family were contractors.
Were they black or white?
They were black. I mean, carpenters and such. They were skilled mechanics. We had a lot of black skilled mechanics back in those days, and this is something we don't have now. Blacks got away from that. Mm-hmm. We had Hampton Institute training skilled mechanics, and I think they quit that too. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate that we got out the field. For example, we don't have all black laborers like we used to have, and that's because we're paying folks more money now. Mm-hmm. They don't want to make more money. They work for 25 cents now. Mm-hmm. We're back there and left. And now when you get fairly good money for it, I'm not trying to say you're going to get rich being in labor, but the fees are much higher. Rates are much higher than they were back in those days. Of course, you need to have the price higher too. But, okay. Inge, Cole, West, as far as I know, of course, Mason's on the this happens, but I can, you know, pop my head on the top of five times because she actually owns the house. I could be wrong.
Well, that's what we've heard several people say. In the beginning, it seemed as though there were a lot of blacks that owned property, but the more and more we've talked to people on this, the Ferguson mentioned there weren't a whole lot of blacks because a lot of that property was being rented.
Yeah, that's true. We had for them on this Oh, I left out the dog, so maybe he had. And anyway, Commerce Street is different. There's the residential areas, that's different. But a lot of that was not owned by black people. That was all non-profit, like, such as the man right here now, Dr. What's his name? Dr. You know that's quite Hurt. Dr. Hurt, that's quite all his property. Virginia Land Company, Dr. Hurt has an Albemarle Hotel. And anyway, you go out and see Virginia Land Company, Dr. Hurt on it, don't necessarily have to be in Charles. It can be all over.
I have seen the Virginia Land
couple of things. Yeah, a lot of rule. So instead of practicing medicine, he went out and got in real estate, just buying a property and speculation. But, yes, it decentralized.
Right.
Defused it. And it was, I mean, you know, people hanging out on the streets, for example. I don't know if you ever noticed this place up here. It's now Baker's Creek, where it's right across from the First Baptist Church. But prior to the people who owned the Snail buying that building to help with the Star Hill neighborhood, that opened that Baker's remodeling the building, that was the business in there. And they call it the Recreation Hall. And the biggest thing they had back then were a couple of pool tables, and I don't know what all they did. They come in and do jive dances at night. I told them it was a basement. And it's about last year's coming, last school year in September. So from September 79, those guys had gone and stolen this, picked up a sign that some other business had, and they had said it out front and said, "Welcome to University of Virginia students." And I cracked up when I saw that. You know, what student would go in that? But they ended up the thing going, "Welcome to University of Virginia students."
If they wanted to make it look like they had all the business.
Yeah, we're not partial at all. But, you know, in those times, it was the only place that we really had, that Wesley had opened his business out on Preston Avenue earlier, and then that was beginning to take people away. Of course, they went through it. Bought the property on Preston Avenue, wide Preston Avenue, so they got rid of that business. But that wasn't part of the Running the Hill project. Of course, they also dismantled the old fire department there. That would be a historical building there. Because fire companies direct the one that's on Ridge Street, of course, they needed to move the They moved that. Right there, where Water Street runs in, you know, just above the mall.
Okay.
Traveling west. You see a lot of vessels. Well, actually, that property is going to be part, it was formerly part of the, is property that they built in the high rise.
Is this the high rise for senior citizens?
That's right there, Midway.
Tell me something. You were saying that your sister's in the Star Hill Association. Was that existent? Has that been existent for a long time?
No. Neighborhood associations is a fairly modern thing, you know, throughout. Grew out of mainly tenant associations in some of these larger cities who were fighting landlords and were not making improvements on property. And no Washington is one of the areas that has an Illinois Tenant Association. Mm-hmm. In fact, I worked 3 years for the Housing Development Corporation in Washington. That took over the building, the one and only man that I know of that probably did some sense in, who was being sued for not keeping his building up to code. Tipton Terrace was the building that the housing development later got and tried to rehab. Mm-hmm. And they had quite a large sum of money, and that was one of the first experiences of black contractors doing the whole bit. Refurbishing Tipton Terrace, first of all. Lee Pride took that over, you know, Barry's organization there. Barry? What's his name?
Marion Barry.
But he got out of car. But then from that, you got neighborhood associations. And as people try to come in and infringe on neighborhoods, the Star Hill Neighborhood Association is one of the earlier ones organized. I think that's just what happened. But didn't start when they acquired that property on Bunker Hill. Maybe if they had one then, it would have been much farther ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, now we've already talked about Vinegar Hill and what effects it had and so forth and so on. And you said that you felt that the move was good or bad? Good for those people that were relocated, or good for?
Well, I honestly feel that where the project, where the land has not been redeveloped, but in terms of, now I'm not trying to say that I'm in favor of public housing where everything is sort of cut it together. I believe in scattered pumping and everything. That we have made the same mistakes we've made in other cities, with public housing being all in one area. Mm-hmm. But as far as the housing situation is concerned, I don't think you could have expected the people who own that property there with the rent they were getting from that property to have been able to improve it to a place where they could have really gotten much better rent than they got. Mm-hmm. So in part of living arrangements, I think it was an improvement. People got more modern housing with running water inside and that sort of thing. As far as the businesses that were concerned that were destroyed, I don't feel that had to be the case if there had been younger people who owned those buildings and businesses had been willing to want to try to stick it out. I don't think it would have had to die. But when they came through and made the changes that they made, the people that they purchased from were pretty much on their way out. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much he's really gone into, but I was just recently talking with Mr. Allen, who runs Allen's Market up here on Wilson. Mr. Allen is 70 years old and still runs strong. Now, I don't know that he would really be willing to back down and stop doing anything, but at least he's verbalized. God should know if I could find some young man who really wanted to get into a grocery business, I'd like to have him come in and work with him. He's got a younger man working with him, not that much younger, who's also employed by a telephone company. And this man says, I don't want to come give up my telephone job because I've got too much tenure in there, and Tim can understand that. But he says he can't find anybody else. He has brothers, but there's not that much difference in their age. They all live in different parts of the country. And probably they wouldn't be interested. Now, let's say we were coming through that about now with urban renewal and stuff like that, and he was displaced out in the yard. But he wanted his business bad enough, and he got a good enough fee. I don't think he bought the place right here. But at least he went up there and fixed it up some, and is renting from the man who owns the building and has his business thrive. I asked him if it had deep roots, and he said, no, man, you wouldn't believe it. But he went somewhere, he has something that somebody wants, he renders a service, and they come back to black and white. So I think the crux of this, the brass rail is a pool of downtown. The brass rail ain't gonna never grow any more than it is right now. If you've ever passed by and seen it, it's been that way ever since I can remember. Somewhere near the Mews. Restaurant. You know where the Muse restaurant is?
I do, but I didn't know that's what it was.
Probably right next door to H&M shoe store. You know where that is?
No.
Right next door to that. Brass Rail's never going to be any more than it is right now. And that's about the extent of what it's been all along.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.